Well, greetings to you all this morning. It's been a blessing to be here again this morning. Thank you all for your prayers and support the last week. I was kind of laid up with my backache, but by God's grace, it's going the right direction. So thank you all for your prayers. Yeah, amen to what was shared this morning already. I was very blessed with what was shared. I mean, to think of Hebrews 11. You know, we all know what Hebrews 11 is, the faith chapter, where it talks about all the people that have given their lives for the Lord Jesus. And some of them that are mentioned there were people that did it, or they... I'm not sure if they gave their lives, but they like Abraham, he followed God. He wasn't martyred, but in that faith chapter, I mean, there's a whole list of them. I think at one point it says if there was a, it doesn't say a lot more. There's some other words that it uses that it mentions that these all died in faith. And yeah, they're an example for us. But you know what? As we heard the devotional and the children's lesson, that was in that time. But now it's our turn, right? What is God to me? Is He that precious to me? Which I think what I'm sharing, and I'm not sure if I'm going to do justice to it. I know I won't. The title of the message is Knowing Christ. Isn't that what those people did? Knowing Christ. Because we see those examples are, yeah, beyond anything that we as human beings can do on our own. So for a scripture, if you want to turn with me, turn to Philippians chapter 3. I guess a little bit what brought this to my mind was here a while ago, or I say a while ago, it was on the, it might have been this last week or maybe the week before. I was talking to my brother. He left a message, and there's a little phrase that he said, and he said, "We know so much and see so little." And I wonder if it isn't the other way around. We see so much and know so little on the spiritual side. I mean, think about that. Do we know so much and see so little, or do we see so much and know so little? I want to say, on the spiritual side, we know so little when it comes, especially when you listen to the testimonies of people that have given their lives for the Lord. But here in Philippians chapter 3, I want to look in chapter 2. I'm just going to do a little going through. If you look back to chapter 2 a little bit, we'll see what Paul was referring to in chapter 2. He's talking about humility. The first part of chapter 2, it mentions Paul's exhortation to humility. And if you think about humility, there's a verse in, I think is it in Chronicles, where it says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will heal their land and forgive their sin. There's nothing, I think, outside of, I mean, Christ was the meekest, I mean, in the Old Testament, I think it says Moses was the meekest man on earth. But when Christ came, I think he was the true example of humility. Here in the first part of chapter 2 is Paul's exhortation to humility, and then it's Christ's example of humility. And then that's from 5 through, I'm not going to read this chapter, but just kind of giving you a little bit of a backdrop of here where before we get into chapter 3. And also Paul's, and in verse 17 and 18, it says Paul's example of humility. I'll read those two verses. It says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." And then the next part is Timothy's example of humility, where he talks about Timothy. I'll just read that one. So in verse 19, it says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with his father he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." He was mentioning Timothy here. And then another one is Epaphroditus' example of humility. That's in the last part of chapter 2. And then in chapter 3, it starts in after he talks about the humility of Christ, and he's talking about some of his other co-labors. And then chapter 3, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Notice, this is now Paul, after he's talking about Christ's humility and some of the other, his co-labors, now he's talking about what he had before he had Christ. And I think that's very important. In order to know Christ, we have to give up what we have. Verse 4, Paul says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." And if you think of, we heard about these martyrs this morning. Think what they gave up. The things that they counted those things loss for Christ's sake. But if you think about it, we're just here temporary anyway. I mean, we have nothing to lose, to give our life for the Lord Jesus, because everything around us is temporary anyway. But he's worthy to be honored and served. Verse 8, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And then verse 10, I think, is one of the key verses, says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." Know who? Know Christ. know him? That's what I said earlier. Do we know so much and see so little, or do we know so little? If we know Christ, I mean, what is going? Isn't that the only thing that will give you the ability to take whatever people do to you? I mean, that was Paul's passion, to know Christ. I know there's a song. I think it's more of a. Probably most of you have heard it. To know my Christ, to make him known, it is the reason, it is my goal. Is that our goal in life? To know Christ and to make him known? I mean, what other thing? I mean, we can learn all kinds of trades and things, and we can get good at it. I've heard lately, I was talking to another one of my brothers. He was saying how this one guy, this business owner, I think it was an Amish guy, a New Order Amish guy, something like that. Millions of dollars worth, you know, a business, I mean, very wealthy and makes a go of it. But in the spiritual side, I would say he would have been lacking. I mean, just what he shared. It's like, what is more important? I mean, Paul's passion was here. I mean, you hear this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. If by any means, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended, of Christ Jesus. And it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. If we've grown up serving, are doing similar to what Paul did, having our righteousness in our heritage, in our growing up, I mean, God wants us to put our, He wants to be our King and our Master and our Lord. I mean, Paul says he gave up everything for the sake of Christ. Verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he presses for. Is that what we press for? Is that what you press for? Is for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to, there's another in, I'm just going to read here in 1 Corinthians where Paul also says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Here he's saying that he didn't come with some new idea or something, but only in saved in Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's the one. Jesus Christ is the author. He's going to be the author. He's going to be the finisher in the end. Is he that for my faith, for your faith? Now, if you want to turn with me to Colossians, which is the next book, you hear the same heartbeat in Colossians. Knowing Christ. I mean, this was Paul's passion. You can hear it in this first chapter here in Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. What was he thankful for? When he heard that somebody accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And that should be our joy and life too, is when we hear when somebody gets saved. I mean, it's a glorious thing. We've had some of those here lately, and it's like, praise God. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, and our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And he says again, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is one of the key verses that as I was going through this, you know what he prays for him? You didn't notice that? Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will. The knowledge of his will. That ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will. When a person is, when those things are present in a person's life, when his desire is to be filled with, or to know more of Christ and to be filled with the knowledge of his will, then when the authorities come to take you captive, like they did for Daniel, he was filled with the knowledge of his will, right? He knew what God wanted. He knew what was right. But do we see so much that, well, there's a way around here. Do we have enough of a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ that when the tough times come, that we don't just go with the flow? Filled with the knowledge of his will. I looked up this word knowledge of his will. We know there's, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking of how many of you know what Solomon, you know, when God told him that he would give him whatever he asked for, what was something that Solomon asked for? It was in Chronicles. All I read it here. It says, in the night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto God my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over all the people that is like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. He asked for something. Other than, I mean, what would you do? What would I, if you had the chance, if God gave you that opportunity, see, here in Colossians, Paul is praying for the Colossians that they be filled with the knowledge of his will. So if God gave you the opportunity to choose between You name it, what you can get on earth. Or knowing God, or being filled with the knowledge of God's will, what would you choose? I have a quote here. It says, the believer's life has its home and stronghold in Christ, and be found in him, Philippians 3:9. Once lost, now found, found by Christ, found in him by others. Once homeless, now safely sheltered. One day Charles Wesley was sitting by an open window, looking over the bright and beautiful fields in summertime. Presently, a little bird flitting about in the sunshine attracted his attention. Just then, a hawk came swooping down towards the little bird. The frightened thing was darting here and there, trying to find some place of refuge. In the bright, sunny air, in the leafy trees or green fields, there was no hiding place for the fierce grasp of the hawk. But seeing the open window and a man sitting by it, the bird, in its extreme terror, flew toward it and with a beating heart and quivering wing found refuge in Wesley's bosom. He sheltered it from the threatening danger and saved it for a cruel death. Wesley was at that time suffering from severe trials and was feeling the need of a refuge as much as the trembling bird that nestled safely in his bosom. So he took up his pen and wrote the following known hymn. Not sure if I can say it. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, lover of my soul. Does he love your soul? He does. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all men be saved. To be found in Christ means more than mere shelter, more than external fellowship. It means a union as close and vital and abiding as between the members of the body and the head, a union affected by the Spirit and being the very Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. The believer's life consists of righteousness, not self-acquired, not divinely inspired but divinely inspired through faith. Not having mine own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ. That was back in Philippians. But here, continuing on in Colossians here, Paul's, I guess it's just a strong, his drive, his desire was when somebody accepts the Lord, because there is so many distractions in the world, and if our salvation isn't based in Christ and in Christ alone, it's just a matter of time until you get tested to what it is actually based on. Being filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That was in verse 9. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There it has it again. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Or are you just doing your daily work and being faithful at that? I mean, that's good too. Be faithful what God has given you to do, but are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Is God working in your life? Is God working in my life? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Wow, those are some long-suffering with joyfulness. Have you ever done that one? How do you know when you did that one? Have you ever been long-suffering with joyfulness? Maybe open it up for testimonies here. Long-suffering with joyfulness. You can do that, you know you're going the right direction, right? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I mean, here Paul is, I mean, he wants them to, his prayer is that, I mean, it says Paul's prayer for the Colossians. I mean, if we pray that for one another, when we see, you know, we see maybe needs in each other's lives, and well, we know they accepted the Lord Jesus. I mean, can we have that heart to pray for each other and speak when it's necessary, right? Yeah, he keeps on going here and talking about it's in Jesus Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Even the forgiveness of sins. He keeps on mentioning Christ, you know, as he goes through here. I guess another thing that really became real to me here this last week, I was reading a book, Miracle of Miracles, I think it's called, and it's like, I have a lot to learn, but the animosity from a religious group is like, I almost didn't know what to think of it at one point, because if she wouldn't have lied, she would have got killed. I mean, it's almost like a God used them in a mighty way, but I think was shared in devotional about honesty, being honest. And when they got saved in the under the Muslim religion, it was like, in a matter, as soon as they found out, I mean, you were dead. But her friend got killed, but she got, the only reason she got out is because she used some, what you say, it wasn't honest. Totally every time. But she was at the point, I think it was almost like she was at a place where she still practiced some of her religion, but she knew it was through Jesus. And then she got, when she got, the day they came for her, she went out the back door. And she lived in, yeah, for I don't know how many years it was it 10 years or so? She was kind of in a dangerous territory. Until she came to the U.S. and she was still. Her parents actually also got saved, but it's like, wow. I mean, I almost when I read those stories of what religion does, it's like I almost got indignant enough. I would have burned the Quran if there was one around. But by God's grace, I mean it's. I mean, God has his way of saving people in those areas, and I mean, I just rejoice in what he has done. It was amazing how the Lord used the. It was a lady and a husband. I'm going to read through the end of this. I know there's a lot more that could be shared, knowing Christ. I mean, what does it look like? What does it look like in my life? Well, I mean, what is it? verse 15 here in Colossians says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He keeps on bragging up Christ, and I think that's good. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things were created, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the first from the dead, and in all things that he might have the preeminence. I know I heard a little clip from a guy that he was talking about, and I didn't think about it as much until I heard him say it, that, you know, when Jesus said, if they don't believe him, then they also don't believe the Father. And that's one of the very things that the Muslim religion is, you know, it's they believe they just know Allah, they know God. Well, Jesus said, if you don't believe me, you don't know the Father. It's like you don't have either one. If you don't have me, you don't have the other one. I think I had shared actually a message before that if you get one, it's all inclusive. If you have Jesus, then you have the rest. Verse 19, it says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be in things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. I don't know what you hear here, in what Paul is saying here in this, in Colossians here. I mean, he's trying to get them to understand the preeminence, the value of Christ. Because if you don't know the value of something, how likely are you to pitch it away? Quite likely, right? When you get in difficult situations, you just pitch it out. But in him is all we have. I mean, we don't have anything outside of him. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for this body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Perfect in Christ Jesus. I mean, that was Paul's goal. Every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What is that? Does that, you know, so often when we hear those words like perfect in Christ or complete in Christ, we tend to think too much of how I've performed. Well, there is an element of, that it had mentioned here earlier, to walk worthy of what Christ has called you to. I mean, we're sensitive to, okay, what I'm doing is pleasing to God. Well, do it in faith that you're pleasing the Lord, and then you can say, as far as I know, I'm complete in Him. You know, when God shows me something else, then I can repent of that too. Complete in Him. Or here it says, perfect. You think of yourself as perfect? Usually not, right? But just, that's if you think of yourself. But you have to think of yourself as Christ sees you. If you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, then you're perfect. That's amazing, right? We're saints. Nothing to boast of. It's sobering, right? My Bible also says mature. Mature in Christ. Maybe we could say, well, I don't think I'm quite there yet. I'm like Paul said, I'm pressing toward the mark. He's pressing toward that. Amen. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Meditate on that one for a little bit. It says, I labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Is God working in you mightily? Is God working in me mightily? All we have to do is surrender our will. You know, you talk about surrendered will. Those are one of those things that God lets each individual have, his own will. You can do whatever you want. You know, sometimes you hear people say, you mean I have to? Well, no, you don't. It's a free country. But, you know, like the saying goes, you can do what you want, but you can't choose the consequences are chosen for you. But if we surrender our will to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we accept the path, and God has, you know, there's also, we enjoy the benefits of it, a surrendered will. But if we don't surrender our will, then it's like, you can do whatever you want. The consequences are chosen for you. So yeah, just the, I know there's a lot more that could be said. I'd like to sing that song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. I listened to that thing, I don't know how many times. I lay there and I had to weep sometimes. The words in there, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, let me to Thy bosom fly. I think it's page number 647. I'm just going to close with this. There's a proverb where it also talks about knowledge. As I had mentioned here earlier, to be filled with the knowledge of His will. I mean, is that our desire? Is that my desire? Do we want to be filled with the knowledge of His will? I mean, I think one of the key factors there is to continue pressing in, as Paul says, he presses toward the mark. In Proverbs it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. When we press in, you know, when we seek diligently, as we do silver, we're faithful in going to our work and working and being a blessing where we are, but let's do that in the spiritual sense. Press in. Here it says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And here in Colossians, Paul says that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Who wants to stand up and say that he's filled? Probably nobody. But let's press in. Let's press in for that. Why don't we sing that? Michael, you want to lead that song, and then I'll turn the time over to you. I think it's page 647. It's the one we need. You can stand. Why don't we stand and sing that?